Wednesday the 6th of May, Yud-Bei Seor, Rav Moshe Halpern, entering a shul whilst wearing tefillin. Today's shir is Lili Nishmas, Hinda Bas Sechodov, and Zissel Bas David.
Well, there's a very interesting shiva in the name of the Beis Halevi. Someone actually told me yesterday that it's in Shulis Beis Halevi itself, but I haven't checked it out. But it's Hashem the Beis Halevi, it's certainly brought down. When there's two people coming into shul, one with his tefillin on, wearing his tefillin, and the other carrying the tefillin in the hand. Who has got a schus kadima? Who should one let him go first in the shul? Who does one have to be mechabed? The person who's got the tefillin on, or the person carrying the tefillin in the hand? The svura would say that the person who's got the tefillin on should go first. And B'Shem, the Beis Halevi, he says that the astoida would be half of the normal svura, and he quotes a Mishnah in the Gur. The Pusik says in Parshas Metzora, Habu el habayis, kol yumei hizgi oisoi, when a house has got tumat saras, yitmu ador elev, the person who enters the house which has got saras becomes tumat until the night, for one day. Vahashoyche bebayit, whoever lies down in the house, yichabeses begudov, which literally means to wash his clothes, but which Chazal means say that not only does he become tumah, his clothes also become tumah. V'hu oichu b'bayis, and someone who eats in the house, also yichabes es begudov. Chazal, when makabel, that it doesn't mean literally that one has to either lie down or eat in the house. If a person enters the house and stays as long as it takes to eat a kedei achilas pras, a certain amount of food, lying down and dipping it into a sauce, which is a comfortable way of eating, as long as it takes that 2 minutes or 4 minutes, whatever the achilas pras is, if he stays in the house that long, as it will take to lie down and to eat, then not only does he become tumah, his clothes also become tumah. The Mishnah in the Guim, Peikid Gimla Luchates, says that only applies if he is wearing the clothes on himself. If he would be carrying his coat in his arm, then the coat would become Tumei Miyad. Why? Because then anyone who enters a house becomes Tumah straight away. Not only a person who enters the house, clothes that enter the house would also become Tumah straight away. When do we say that the clothes only become Tumah after being in a certain period, the 2 to 4 minutes, that's only if he is wearing the clothes, then it's not considered as if the clothes have entered, the person has entered, he's wearing the clothes on him, then we say it's butl, it's a tuffle to the goat, then the clothes would only become tumma if he's stayed in the house for a certain amount of time. So we see from here, when do we consider that a coat has entered the house? Only if it's not worn by a person. If it's worn by a person, it's not considered as if the coat has entered in the house. Says Zuchanuch Hashem the Beis Halevi, he had in here also. We want to be mechaber tefillin. If the person is wearing tefillin, it's not considered as if the tefillin are entering now into the shul. It's a person who's entering the shul, he happens to have tefillin on him, they're butl to the guf. Whereas the person who's holding the tefillin in his hand, it's considered as if the tefillin are entering, so we want to be mechabed to Shmisha Kedisha. He suggests, or says, that we should let first the person who is carrying the tefillin in his hand, rather than the person who's wearing the tefillin. From recent achronim, I've seen that they would suggest otherwise. First of all, that there's a halucha that one has to stand up for Sefer Torah, but whether one has to be mechabed tashmish kedusha like tefillin, it's common sense, but there isn't an actual halucha. But we do see something, which is a Mishnah Mefereshis in Bekirim, Peyu Gimel Mishnah Gimel. The Mishnah says there that when Klal Yisrael at certain and times when they got together from various parts of Eretz Yisrael, and they went up to Yerushalayim to bring the Kiran. So the Mishnah says the whole thing how it went, and that from Yerushalayim sent out a delegation to be Mekabel Punim, the Mavir Bekirim. Then the Mishnah says that when they entered in Yerushalayim and they walked through the streets and there were business people working on the street, all the business people used to get up to be Mechabed, the Anshe and the Anushim who are bringing the Kiddin. Says the Yishalmi asks, we've learned when it comes to Vodatut Neizutin, that one has to get up for an elderly person, we say that Tukim Vodatu, Ma Kime Shein Bach Sumkis, getting up, yeah, is a kubbut, but it doesn't cost anyone money. So you're only in Mechiv to stand up for an elderly person if it's not costing you money. So if you're sitting and drinking a coffee, you have to stand up. But someone who's in the middle of brokering a business deal, whether it's a mortgage broker or a cobbler or whatever he's doing, every time an elderly person would come, he would have to get up. He would be able to disturb his work. He would be losing money. He's not Mechiv to be... to stand up for an elderly person. Frek the Gemura, so why by the Amtsha Bekirin? Yes, so the Gemura says Bekirin, elderly person, can happen a couple of times a day. Bekirin, which is only bought once in a year or once in a certain time, Sinishke Ferdach. So, yet the Shalmi says, Boy Irei, Kamo Gudo Koichem Shaloisa Mitzvah, how strong and how much is the need to be mechaber someone is doing a mitzvah? Shemit neizukin ein on dim lemasa the gula zukin upon chuchim goes past, and we say that the cobbler or the whoever it is does not have to get up, and for the oisei mitzvah he does. So we see from here that one has to be mechaber an oisei mitzvah. A person who is wearing talis tefillin is an oisei mitzvah, whereas the person who is holding the talis tefillin is not an oisei mitzvah. Eidazoi. And that we see is a din of the Mishnah to be mechaber oisei mitzvah. So therefore, we should be give preference to the person who's wearing the talis tefillin rather than the person who's holding the talis tefillin. I thought while I was investigating something else, we could have a different reason to side with the poskim and say that one should let in the person who is wearing the talis tefillin. The Beis Yosef in Hilchos Tefillin Siman Chof Hei brings a Zoya Kudosh. The man da ay lebeit nishta, whoever goes into a shul, kadnofik mitare, when he goes out of his house, v'lu tefillin bereishe, he has not got his tefillin on his head, v'tzitzis b'vishe, he's not wearing tzitzis, v'omar, and the say is when one enters the shul, one says, Eshtachva el heicho kotshchu, I'll bow down to the heilige heicho, b'yoseichu with a fear. Kitshabricha omer, onhi mayrui, where is your fear? V'du asit sadisa b'shikra, a person who's wearing talisat tefillin shows respect and fear for the Rebbeinu Shalom. Someone who enters the shul without talisat tefillin, Hashem says, where is your fear? So it's not a good thing. The Da'at Moshe brings from the Rekantim of Shem a different Zoya. Omer Reb Nehruah, Reb Nehruah says, Ashadna, I give evidence. Amand Nofik Mitra Beiser, whoever goes out of his house, Batifa the Mitzvah, Arim Gine Mitra Talis, Tfilin Bereisha, and he goes Tfilin on his head. Beshata the Nofik Ben Tvein Taren, while he's going from his door to the door of the shul, he has an entourage that's Bagleitim. Who is it? Shchinta is Damnalei. The Shchina comes, like rests on the person. It trained Maluchim the Kaimalei. Every person has got the whole of the day, two Maluchim on either side who escort him wherever he goes. So the Shchina is on him. The two Maluchim, which on either side, Chad Bimina and Chad Mesmula, one on the right and one on the left. Kilim Elabna at Beit Nishta. They escort him to shul. Im avoch nai, and they give him a brucha. Chad mekatrega, there's a katega, the kum kama pischa de benash, which always stays outside the house, because hopefully if he's got a kusha meziza, he can't enter into the house. But when he's out in the streets, it's a different story. Uzla basrai, he also walks behind the shchina metumeluchim, v'akochai usiv v'oma umayin. He ezup umayin of the brucha was the Rebbeinu Shalom metumeluchim given. In the Zoya, which the Beis Yosef says, which he only brings the second part, if we see the first part, it gives a bit of a more detailed description of what one has to do and gives a different sort of thing. Omer Shimon, Shimon Yehoi says, B'shata de banash aktim b'palgis laila, a person gets up at midnight, b'kom mishtadol b'raisa, and he sits and learns Torah ad the nuet safra till the morning gets light. And the tzafra in the morning, amach tefillin bereisha, he puts tefillin on his head. Tfilin b'rishima kedisha b'daroi, and the tfilin on his hand. It's atav vati for the mitzvah, and he puts on a talus. And he goes towards his door of the house to go out. He arab mezizah b'rishima kedisha b'tar debaisa. He meets the mezizah. His abba maluchin, full maluchin kedishin, Mizdavgin Imay escort him, but Nafgin Imay metala the baisa and go out of him from his house. But Oitzvelai the bai Kanishta, and they escort him to shul. And Machrez Kamai, and they call out before him, Hobi Yikil Adikla the Malka, give respect to the person who is going in the Levish, of the Boinashayim, in the whole list. So someone suggested that if, well, since he white nowadays is Nishta Zoe Noik, especially in Chitz towards Netzu, one sees it more, but if someone would be coming into Shul after he's gone out from his house with a tefillin and the tzitzis dressed umitim the tefillin, and he's got such an entourage around him, Tzilot Ein Zoya, he's got the Eibishter and the two Maluchim, and if he's done the whole, if he's got up at midnight, maybe Nishazay Shchiach over here, maybe Chakamon Etzur, he'll have four Maluchim. His out respect, not only for the person, but for his entourage, it would make sense that one should let him first, rather than the person who's wearing the Talus Tefillin. Who's carrying the Talus Tefillin. The Mogen Avraham says on the Mechaber, it's actually brought down on the Mechaber, V'yaniach Tefillin Bebeisoi, says the Mogen Avraham, that if we see in the Zoya there's two parts, the parts which the Besiyasov brings, puts the emphasis on not entering the shul without Talus Tefillin, because Hashem says, where's your Yidah? But if we see in the other places in Zoya, besides entering the shul with Talus Tefillin, there's actually an Indian to leave one's house. The meluchim, whatever the positive part of it, is to leave one's house. The Mugabrum discusses what happens if one has to go through. In the olden times, there wasn't proper drainage on the road, and instead of cars, there was horses and cows, whatever. So there wasn't proper sanitation also, so the roads were actually dirty. Is one allowed to go through with Talus Tefillin in a road where there's actual dirt on? The Mung Avrum brings the Chivas Ramam Ipano, who says that one is allowed to go through a road, even when there's dirt, with the Talus Tefillin Mekadin. It's better to cover it up, and if someone wants to be Mahmud before he enters that road to take off the Tefillin, and after he's finished to put it on, is Avadigit. Yet the Mung Avrum said, maybe that Haluch is only if a person is walking and happens to go through a road where there's dirt. Here he knows, hopefully he knows where his shul is, and he knows the distance from his house to the shul, and he knows whether there is a road which is not clean. So whether one should look at Chila put on and to be able to have to go through, maybe it would be better to be mevatar on this halucha. And not yet the Mung Avraham brings from the father of the shul that this inyan of wearing talus tefillin on the way to shul overweighs the problem of going into a muvi hamatinuf. The Mung Avraham brings interessant Chivas Maram Milablin, a kohl who they got together and they decided they would do a wonderful thing, get up every morning before daylight and say Tehillim together, and they were Messiah that whoever would not attend the Tehillim in the morning would have to pay 3 pritas, unless he's an oinus, obviously if he's not well or something. Says one congregant that in the winter, because they get up, winter, it's before the Alos HaShachar, so when he goes to shul, he cannot put on Talus Tefillin, because it's before daylight. And he has got the custom, like the Zoya, to go out of his tefillin, out of his house with the Talus Tefillin on. So he says he can't be Mekayim winter, he can't be Mekayim Mishchaydus, and obviously he does not want to pay the 3 pritas a day. The kohl maybe would have agreed to it, because 3-4 months they would have made some money, but he doesn't want to pay. Says the Meram Lablin that it's considered a neder betuas. Obviously, the idea to get up in the morning to say Tehillim was to be mechazik a mitzvah. If he would have remembered at the time that it would disturb him doing the other inyan of going with a Talus Tefillin, he wouldn't have accepted it. So he is put from paying the 3 pritas, and the Mugavrum discusses whether he has to be matineda or not. The Mugavum says that the Ariya Kudesh was not for went the Indian of being from the Asura Rishonim in Shul, which is interesting. Asura Rishonim is something which is brought down in the Gemara. Walking to Shul with Talis Tefillin is a Zoya. Yet the Ariya Kudesh of Mugavta Gevein on the Indian of being on Asura Rishonim. Why? Because in the Tzfas, in the times of Ariya Kudesh, the Asura Rishonim were there before Allah Shachar. If he would have gone to Shul and be from the Asura Rishonim, he wouldn't have been able to go with his Talis Tefillin on. So he was mevat on being from the Asura Rishonim rather than going without his Talis Tefillin. Ask the Mung Avrum, why couldn't he do both? Go to Shul in the morning, say the Davano or whatever, learn whatever, and when it comes to the last, walk home and then put on Talis Tefillin and go back. Says the Mugen Avrum that he would have missed Bruchas and Psika de Zimra. I don't know, maybe he wasn't such a big rebbe like nowadays who had a minion waiting for him. It wouldn't have been, he would have had to miss Bruchas and Psika de Zimra, so it wasn't Shaykh. Chivas Nachas Shiva, which the Mugen Avrum brings also an interesting Shala in a small village where there was a minyan at Tzimtzum, there was just 10 or 11 people. And in Slichas time, they used to get up in the morning to say Slichas. But since they didn't have a clock, which he calls a Kli Mishkel, which is a weight, and I think it means because the old clocks had like such a pendulum, they couldn't work out that when they finished Slichas, should just be in time to daven Shachris. The olden times it became dark, 6, 7 o'clock, whatever, so whenever they got up, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, the call got together and said Slichas. So what happened? They finished Slichas and they saw there was time. Others went home. Maybe a Chwais would have a coffee or whatever. And it took time until they came back. The other people were in a rush to go to work. Like they asked him at Slichas time, there wasn't a minion. So again, they made a tikkuna that whenever Slichas finishes, no one would go back home. Again, came someone and said that at the time of the tikkuna, he did not realize that he wouldn't be able to go with Talis Tefillin, and he once saw in the Levush, B'Shem HaZoya, the big Inyan of going at home, and since that day that he saw this Inyan, he has never been in battle. So he wants to know whether he's puter from this chayvus that he made that he would not go home. He brings the Chivas Meram Leblin, which the Meram Leblin says that in such a case it's considered a neder betuas. So he says the Nachas Shiva that he would argue with it and say, when is the Inyan of the Zoya that one has to go with Talis Tefillin? Only if it's after the loss, when it's a time to put on Talis Tefillin, then one is mechiv to go in Talis Tefillin. But if the person's going to shul before the loss, it's as if he's going the night to Ma'ariv. No one will say that one shouldn't go to shul to Ma'ariv without Talis Tefillin. Ma'ariv at nighttime, Mishkan Satz in Talis Tefillin. In the morning after Chatzos, but if it's before the loss, is also not the time for Talis Tefillin. So going in the morning before the loss without the Talis Tefillin is not going against the Zoya. But the Shavus Yaakov argues different and says, so there's two problems. We see the Zoya, there's two parts. There's the part of not entering shul without Talis Tefillin because you're not showing respect for the shul. That's what the Zoya, which the Shavus Yaakov says. There's the other part of the Zoya which brings the Groyser Inyan from walking out with your Talis Tefillin. Before that loss, the payder that the Zoya's got from going into shul on Yerusach, that's not Shayach, because by night time, you need to achieve to wear Talis Tefillin. Over the Inyan of going out of the house with the Talis Tefillin, that one would lose, even if one would be going before their loss. Two or three reasons why, especially in Chitzutz, it's not noyik. The Mugen Avrum brings that in places where there are goyim and it would cause anti-Semitism or whatever, one is not mechiev to go out from the house. Whether that applies so much nowadays, one would have to know. Another thing which Hershel Hager, told me, he asked me what I was doing, so he said he happened to see in Shulchan Atur from the commanders, one of the Mekabulim, says that this Indian of going out of the house with the Malachim only applies to Eretz Yisrael, not in Chitzur. So maybe the Nigla and the Nista have a shaykh, since the Chitzur was the Alpi Nigla, there was a problem with anti-Semitism. But the Master, here's just another thing which I thought is, especially about Sida and also Tamid Agru, was stuck mapped on Tfilas Ezra to go to Mikveh. Normally the Mikveh is in Shul, so it would again be a problem. I'd have to go in Shul to Mikveh and then go back home. So maybe being Dane is a sputlag of one. I'd like to finish with a very interesting, maybe a powerful story. I saw it in the Israeli Hamadiyah, maybe it was interpreted in the English Hamadiyah, of the Masters of Moedek and Masters. It's got no shaykhs with the Sinian, but it's got the shaykhs with the power of every small pe'ila, which even a pushita, or even less than a pushita yid, can do what it can harm, and faket what it can do. There's a book came out by an Israeli author, I forgot the name, I don't think it's so important, who wrote the life story of one of the very famous, I don't know famous, but I don't remember his name, of a famous Arab terrorist, who's one of the leaders, not a member of parliament. Shlomo HaMelech says in Tehillim, or David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ma'oyvai tachakmaini, one can learn Avodas Hashem from an enemy. Ideally, one should learn Avodas Hashem from the Gedolei Yisrael, but sometimes when we have to resort to hit something very hard, one has to learn Avodas Hashem from our enemies. Two small things in general, which I think one can learn from. It's fair to say that one of our greatest enemies, or if not the greatest enemies, is the terrorist infrastructure, the Hamas. Two Moedik Zachim, which you can see again and again. First of all is the education that they give. They give a Moedik education for their children, for their teenagers, up to the extent that they brought up a whole generation who's prepared to go Mamish to Nefesh for suicide. Where are we on that balance? Can we say that we've got that sort of chinuch for our children? And second of all is their conviction. They've got an ideal, and they'll fight for it, whether we can say in the Gul Haredish places whether we've got that zeal and the conviction is also a question. The general population and so is unfortunately not on that conviction. Some will see ever this week they've killed this one, they've killed that one. We rarely find that they've killed someone who's 78 years old, stood in Asarallah, Chvaisus, those years, they haven't gotten. But they're always killing this brigadier, that leader, that was, and you see the ages at 34, 42, 43, this one has been 15 years in command, that command. It's our ages of an Ingenat, you know, you're all older than me, yourselves. It's Machayev, if these people can lead battalions of hundreds of people for such a mission, where are we in our Avodas Hashem? So he brings down that there was one, got his name up, Sagoisa Knacker, who was sentenced to Israeli prison for 10 or 15 years. A very charismatic person, and a good speaker, and a bolshitter, he knew what he wanted. But after being in Israeli prisons, although it's maybe not like in Japan, but eventually after a few years, he was worn down, Shazam, attackers, killed another person, their struggle is to have him as up to their own homeland. He didn't see it happening. So he told this reporter, wrote his book, that Pesach by night, he was in his prison, and that the jailer was walking up and down, so an Israeli adopted soldier with his army, walking up and down in the jail, in the corridor, he got small cells on either side, and he sees the person biting into a pita. And Shkivain, he's an intelligent person, he calls him and says, "Are you Jewish?" So an Israeli soldier says, "Yes." So, are you not ashamed of yourself? Pesach, you're biting into a pita, you mustn't eat hummus. That's what the Arab terrorist told him. So he said, he thought a bit, he was like a bit shocked, and he said, he was looked up, what have I got to do with the toilet 2,000 years ago? So that night, he spent his whole night in bed, thinking, Zukta, if the people we are fighting to have got so little to do with their Masoida, with their heritage, then I'm restarting again my Adosi, called together in the morning, Don Zanoilam, and told them to be going back, and Zukta, not for Tuesday, Tzvima Zukta Dusyant, we'll go now for everything. So we see with the jailer and Shkangres Lamadvuch Tzadik and Mstuma Tinik Shanizba, and somebody didn't have a wonderful education, but of where he came from, this Ramazuk from the elite of Klal Yisrael, and an action which he did, which we wouldn't put too much emphasis on, caused such a change in the Riach, and who knows what the damage it could have done. The Hepach Zelim Aseh, in Stamptil, was a Yid called, and maybe some people know him, he was called by his friendly name, Bobby Siegel, lived in Craigenwalk, and he used to daven in Close Mugul Shul together with him. He was a very, very Erlich Voile Yid, came from Germany, Zeh Voile Yid, but did not consider himself to be the Talmud Chucham of the area, a Voile Yid, davened, so we had the Shir, but so he told me he came from Germany, he came over with a Kinder transport. So at the train station, I don't remember which town it was in Germany, there were parents there who was saying farewell to their children, 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds. Was a very chush of them. Mother and father had a bar mitzvah boy, and they gave him the tefillin. You can understand how this parting was, whether they knew for sure they would never see the children, but there was, everyone knew that the possibility they might never see him. There was the oldest child at home who they... But Shankar, whoever it was, organized the Kinder transport. They were brought over here and put somewhere into a hostel. So the Frum Oilem, he was up to kept themselves together and had a minion. After a week or two, he noticed that one of the boys was, he was up slipping, not coming to Shachris. He felt that he was up slipping it, maybe he got into bad company. He went over to him and said, Yanko, whatever your name is, I was in the train station when your parents departed from you. They gave over the tefillin and asked you. They don't know if anyone would survive from the family. You might be the sole survivor. You owe it to your parents, who I don't know if they're still living now, that you should keep Yiddishkeit. And he spoke from his heart. He was then also a little boy, maybe just after the mitzvah, before the mitzvah. Years later, I don't remember, he told me he was at the Chasna, whether it was in Ed Sur in America, and on the day, Zeslot of Sechushra, also I don't remember, Ruva the Rosh Shiva, who came over to him. He was without a beard at the time, and 15 years later, he was also a clean-shaven person, so he didn't look much different than he looked when he was a child, and asked him, are you Bobby Siegel? So there you are. So do you remember, we were in the hospital, and there was a boy over there who was a bit glitching, and you told me those few words. So I met him, and he's now a big Ruv or a Shiva, a Mabitz Toiler. So I still told this Mr. Siegel, the Siegel was 8 feet up, the Zen in the Zen, that a word, or a few words, said sincerely, at the right time and on the right place, the Koyach, all the years of Abutz's Toiler and Yeshemayim, whatever this Ruv and Shiva done, is... This is Chisro.